If you have your Bibles with you today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. Let me come up here and so you can see me a little better, maybe. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn there now, Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. Jesus here is telling a parable, a story that it's a little hard to understand, but I think it speaks good as well. So Jesus says, and he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Friend, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, open up this passage to us today. May it be powerful. May it teach a good lesson. May it be lasting. May we go home with it and think about it and pray about it, and may it affect us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start our sermon today, I want to tell you that I got a phone call on Friday from a former church member in Camden, first church out of seminary. Her name is Joyce. And Joyce worships with us online, 11 o'clock service usually, because that's just her schedule. And she says, I want you to know that I can't get out of my house much anymore. My son also has trouble getting around, and this tree branch fell and did all kinds of, just fell, and my neighbor came over. And I've been praying the night before, I need help. God, I need help. So my neighbor came over and says, hey, I got this. She said, I just think you ought to know that your sermons, I do listen to your sermons, she said. And so I just want to give you a little testimony about that. Is that okay? Yeah, I hope that is. So let's think about this sermon today. Jeff Martindale and I have been friends since high school. We grew up in the same area of town. We both went to different high schools. He went to Northside. I went to Jackson Central Mary. He went to Lambeth Memorial Church, and I went to First United Methodist Church. When it was time for us to get married, I was in Jeff's wedding. This is Jeff now, and Jeff was in my wedding. I only had to think about how we got to be connected was by a mutual friend named Greg Whetstone. Are y'all with me? This may sound a little strange, but we had a wiffle ball competition in our town. And Jeff and Greg were playing Davey and Earl. And they decided, wouldn't it be better if we had 3 people on each team? And so Jeff asked me, would you come and play on our team? And so that's how Jeff and I first became friends, by playing wiffle ball. You know what wiffle ball is, right? So that was the beginning of our friendship. I haven't seen Jeff in years, but we talk on cell phones, and I see him on Facebook. In fact, yesterday, he ran a marathon in Tokyo. It was on Facebook this morning. I'd like to share a story from our friendship, if I might. Both of us had finished college. We're the same age. And I had a year of seminary under my belt. I was back in Tennessee for that summer working at a United Methodist camp in Camden, Tennessee, near the Tennessee River, where the Kentucky Lake flows through that. But I was home in Jackson one weekend, away from that job, when Jeff called me on a Saturday morning, probably around 8. His dad, the day before, had gone to the hospital for tests. He had some numbness in his arms. And over, through the night, early on that Saturday morning, not yet 50 years old, Jeff's dad had a major stroke. And Jeff said, "Will you come?" I said, "Yeah, I'm on my way." And so I got dressed and I drove to the hospital. And I was wondering all the while, did I learn anything in seminary in that first year that would help me here? Is there anything, any word that I could say, any theological truth that I could utter, right? So I got off the elevator and there was Jeff. He met me there. He took me to where the rest of his family was. Turns out I didn't need to offer some deep theological truth. That's not what Jeff needed. What he needed was just his friend to be with him. What we might call a ministry of presence. And when he turned and talked to somebody else for just a moment, I said to the Lord, "What can I do?" Are y'all with me? What can I do? Have you ever asked that question? What can I do? You've seen it, right? The news shows a spring storm is coming through. There's one this week, perhaps, a strong storm. We experienced that in Arkansas all the time. We did in this area just last May. The next day, you see the reports. The school has been wiped away. Homes have been destroyed. Even a church has been damaged. And you think about that and you look at that on TV and you say, you ask the question again, what can I do? How can I help? Max Lucado in his book, Before Amen, asks these questions. What do you do when the challenge is greater than you are? What do you do when the hurt is real? What do you do when you don't feel like you know how to help? What do you do in those times? Well, might I say, pray? Might I say, pray? This morning, we're finishing up a 3-week sermon series that we've called Before Amen. 2 sermons ago, we thought about the first 4 verses of chapter 11. We picked up verse 5 today. We thought about the passage where Jesus is praying in a certain place, and his disciples come to him, and they say to him, "Jesus, teach us to pray. Give us a prayer like John gave his disciples to pray." And so we handed out a couple of weeks ago a little card that has the pocket prayer on it. If you don't have one of those cards, we have them for you today. And the prayer is really simple. It's this prayer: "Father, you are good. I need help. Heal me and forgive me. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you been praying that? I hope so. Last week, we thought about the line in the prayer that says, "I need help." Today, I want us to go to the word that says, "They need help." To get there, I'd like for us to look at the parable that we've come to call the friend at midnight. Some have written that this parable is awkward and difficult for a number of reasons. So Jesus starts by saying, suppose one of you has a friend and you go to him at midnight. Now stay with me. I know we live in a time with Ring doorbells. I know that we live in a time that we probably are not going to answer our door any time of the day, especially at midnight, or we might pull it up on our phone and say, "What's Laura doing here now at this hour of the night?" Right? So, but stay with me. Imagine that the one ringing the doorbell or knocking on the door is you. Your neighborhood is quiet, right? The streets are dark, and so is your neighbor's house. It's late, or it's early. So you ring the doorbell, or you knock on the door, and the dachshund security system at our house will be going off at this point. Those two dogs who can bark louder than any dogs I've ever seen, right? The dachshund security system. You can imagine what's happening upstairs in the second floor of the house. The lights are coming on, right? The wife is kind of nudging the husband and saying, "Wake up, somebody's at the door." And so in all his glory, he puts on the bathrobe, goes downstairs, right? Pillow marks on his head, you know, hair disheveled everywhere. And through the door, he hears the neighbor and says, "Hey, could you give me some food? A friend is coming tonight." And he asked, "Do you know what time it is?" You do. But you also know that hospitality is very huge, especially in the Bible. You are to do hospitality really well. Suddenly, and unexpectedly, you didn't know they were coming. A friend comes in the middle of the night. Long journey. They stop at your house, and he's hungry, and there's nothing in the pantry, right? Walmart has not been invented. Town and Country and Harps are years away. So you knock on your neighbor's door. He grumbles and offers excuses, saying things like, "The door's already locked. The kids are asleep." But then Jesus says, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Friends, this is not a parable about hospitality. This is a parable about prayer. It's not a parable about what kind of neighbor would you be if this were to happen. No, it's a lesson on prayer. The disciples have just asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." Here and in other places, Jesus is clear, and he says that persistence in our prayer life is important. Are y'all with me? Prayer is not a one and done kind of thing. You keep praying and you keep going, and that's what our lesson is about. And so Jesus says, ask, search, knock. What's a little confusing about this, and we noticed this in our staff meeting this week, Kira brought it up. Kira, I'll give you a little credit here. Kira says, "Wouldn't this have fit last week's sermon better than this week's sermon?" Well, yeah. I think it would, but I looked at it a little bit deeper. I looked at it a little bit deeper, and it seemed to me that an unexpected guest arrived and needed something, and his friend went and asked another friend for it. And because he does, his friend doesn't go to bed hungry. This kind of prayer that Jesus is teaching us, are y'all with me? It's called intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is simply this: asking something of God for someone else. Can I say that again? Asking something of God for someone else. I can't feed them, but God, you can. I can't help them, God, but you can. In essence, carrying the need of someone that we care about to Jesus. Amen? Are you with me? In the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' popularity is rising tremendously. He's at home in Capernaum, and there's such a great crowd around the house. Four friends have a friend who is a paralyzed man. He cannot walk. And so they want to take him to see Jesus, right? But they can't get in the door. So houses in that day were flat, right? And there was a ladder on the back of the house, and they climbed up the ladder with their friend. Can you imagine that? And they dug through the roof, It wouldn't have been shingles. It would have been mud and straw. They dug through the roof, and they lowered their friend down for healing for Jesus. Are y'all with me? That's what intercessory prayer is. It's taking your friend's needs and wants and desires and illnesses so that Jesus can heal them. Amen? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about today. Isn't that what we do when we pray for others? We want to intercede for them, asking often for Jesus to heal them. I think our church knows of this power. Don't you? At the end of December last year, no doubt you remember the story of five teenage boys who were in a terrible accident. All five are alive and healing from that accident. We weren't sure what to do. What do we do? And so we asked, what can I do? What can I do? I know some people did more than others, of course, taking being there present and taking food and all those things that go around with that, right? But we did what we knew to do. We prayed. We lowered these boys down so that Jesus could heal them, and Jesus is healing them. Not just these boys. I mean, there's a list full of people that we're called to pray for. And I always tell you, take this home and pray for those on this list. They need help. Have you ever wondered what a prayer looks like? I mean, what it looks like. In his book, Max Lucado tells the story of a man who was who was participating in a rodeo. I think he was on like the third calf roping of the day. And he was doing that, and he fell off his horse. He had a cardiac event, and he was dying. His friend was along the fence and jumped over the fence and ran to his friend and put his hand under his head. Are y'all with me? An experienced firefighter was there, of course, and he ran. He started CPR. And as he administered CPR, while he counted, he also prayed. There was silence in the arena. The arena became a prayer chapel. And everyone stopped, and everybody prayed. And the man had a chance for a few minutes to go to heaven. He says it was perfect peace. And Jesus was right there beside him. And he said, let me show you something. And he started showing him the prayers that were coming up for him. He says they looked like little bolts of light. There was one, and then there was two, and then there was three, and then there were dozens. And then he said there were so many that like exploded into light. He says that's what prayer looks like. And then he sent him back to earth. And he still to this day can tell that story, right? Isn't that a powerful story to see those prayers? You see, our focus today is to knock on God's door. God is not like the neighbor in the story. God is not asleep. God is ready and willing to fill your grocery basket full of blessings and peace for those who need it the most. We must be a people who pray for one another. Amen.